This is the Brewing Network's Brewing with Style, hosted by Jamil Zainashev and Mike Tasty McDole, along with special guest Jonathan Plise. Now, here's Jamil.
Hey, howdy, hey, my Bruin brothers and sisters.
Hey, peeps, what's up?
Oh, another fine day in the studio.
Not a fine day everywhere. I noticed today's news, it said 49 states have snow underground. Is that possible? Why? Yeah. Which one doesn't? Hawaii?
It snowed in Hawaii a couple months ago.
They get them high peaks there. They get some snow.
Oh, okay. Maybe it counts. I don't, maybe they got some of that. Didn't it go through there? In fact, didn't we? Was it like a river that ran over Hawaii or something?
Arizona, maybe?
I don't know. What state besides Hawaii?
Which one doesn't?
Whatever.
Arizona.
49 is a lot of states.
Let's call it New Mexico and Arizona.
New Mexico's got them higher hills, too. I don't know. Arizona's got some peaks. Florida? Florida.
Florida. Probably Florida.
Yeah, Florida. There's no...
That's like a wet armpit right there.
It's just wet and soggy.
Yeah. They don't get any snow out there.
They don't deserve any snow, to be completely honest with you.
That's the one. Yeah.
Tasty, you've got some trips coming up. Going to Ireland.
Going to Ireland in April, but I think in March I'm going to... the Pacific Northwest Homebrewers Conference.
Oh, where's that?
In Seattle.
Uh-huh.
Well, Seattle area, I think it's in.
Uh-huh.
Some other little burb around there. Yeah. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Then what else is going on? I'm speaking at the Greenbelt Brewers Association.
Greenbelt!
On the 17th, I think, or something.
Uh-huh.
This month. That's going to be fun.
That's cool.
Where is that?
Davis.
Davis? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Davis guys. Good guys.
Although they've had a meeting at Heretic. I'm just saying.
We're serving the same crowd here. I mean, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Heretic's closer for you than Davis.
Well, they don't have to go there and, you know.
And when they go there, they get free beer.
I think we meet at Sudbury.
When they meet, yeah, so. When they go to Heretic, they get free beer.
Got a nice classroom there. I get up in front. They listen. They're good guys. Really polite.
Free beer at Heretic. You
know, I'm full of shit, of course. Free beer, huh?
Yeah.
Well, they have homebrew. That's like free. People bring a lot of homebrew.
Yeah.
Homebrew club meeting. I love that format.
They're awesome folks.
They are good.
I love those guys. what do you speak on?
I'll probably do my fast lager talk.
Uh-huh.
I noticed it's like Denny's taking it and ran with it. I don't know. It seemed like I woke him up to it. Now he's like, it's this big thing.
Yeah, this is the Narciss fermentation.
Yes. Very common thing. I think I was at the garage incarnation of the Brewing Network, and I was sitting on the couch in the back, and I don't think I was even on the show. I think I was, Sully was there, and people were up there, and this brew pub had called in and said how they were putting out pilsners in 2 weeks, like they do their ales. I just went like, I've never done a lager. This is my answer to everything.
I was talking about this very thing on the Brewing Network.
Yeah.
Early on.
Yeah.
Yes. No, Narciss fermentation.
No.
I was big on that.
I did a collaboration with Alameda Island Brewing, and it just tastes great. It tastes fine. I can't say it tastes like a lager because it has been lagered.
Well, it's all about controlling your fermentation parameters.
Right.
So... You know, early on, you start off low to control some of your cogeners of later, since I'm getting into distilling, later flavor development. And and then you try and eliminate them towards the end as well with, you know, the profile at the end with the rapidly rising and falling nutrients. And then the yeast still active and they'll suck up. You know,
it's all the diacetyl. There's no any reason to have a 4 week laborious 32 degree diacetyl consumption mode when you can do it in the last 24 hours.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I still don't know about that.
Try the beers.
Well, we brought them in one time.
I remember me and Doc did the same work.
I liked the lager better.
We were like 4-3.
Nobody had a
preference to me. They're both really good.
I would make best of show lagers.
I don't know about that.
With, 7 days, 10 days tops, and ready to go.
Yeah,
it's pH, it's fermentation. It's pitching rates, it's fermentation profile.
And low ester.
That's it.
Low ester beer.
I'd love to try a good one. I've honestly never had a fast ferment lager that.
Well, we're talking fast.
You don't know necessarily.
In that we're talking,
that's probably true.
7 to 10 days.
Yeah.
You can make ales in 3 to 4.
Yeah.
That's true. Tasty's right. To my knowledge, I haven't. Mm-hmm. I haven't had it.
Well, and you can add a few extra days onto that and still make a lager it if you want, but again,
it's just like a waste of time.
Below 40 degrees, the yeast are not active.
Right.
That's one of the things.
Yeah. Exactly.
But there you go.
Whatever is, if you feel like you need to. Good. You got the tank space and the time and the BTUs and the extra transfers to get it off of the yeast so it doesn't get autolysized and stuff like that. Go for it.
Well, I'll tell you where to find great lager yeast.
Oh.
Our good friends at White Labs. WhiteLabs.com. So, I don't know if you've seen the vault yet. Have you seen the vault, you guys?
I've seen the web page. I haven't seen the physical vault.
Right.
Is it like a bank building looking thing? It is.
Big locks.
I like locks.
Mm-hmm. No, I've definitely seen the website. I saw where they promoted one recently.
A giant bolt that slides inside the receiver.
I like sliding even better.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully you have. It's a collection of yeast strains that White Labs has been curating for more than 20 years. They've been collecting different yeast strains.
Get yeast
for
off
over
of
20
donkey
years.
Balls. Get yeast from everywhere. It's like it's all banked there.
You can get the donkey ball yeast,
yes.
Apparently.
Yes.
As if you don't know that.
Right.
We just have to vote
weekend,
it in.
That weekend in Tijuana,
yes.
Chris was there with Suave when the donkey was doing its thing. He's like,
going
I bet you there's
tube.
Yeast there.
I bet. Hold on, ma'am.
Hold on. Excuse me.
Stored.
I'm gonna collect some yeast off the balls here. Some of these yeast strains have never been available. Why does anybody advertise on the show?
I don't know.
Some of these yeast strains have never been available until now. Visit whitelabs.com/thevault to check out the current list and pre-order the strain you want released. Once there are 250 pre-orders, the strain will go into production. Help release the yeast. Visit whitelabs.com/thevault. So what this is you go to whitelabs.com/thevault. They have presented a collection of yeast that they have. It's not the donkey ball yeast because that didn't give quite the right flavor.
Well, if it gets votes, it'll go in. But, yeah, no.
No. They go ahead and make, little test batches and go, well, this is a really nice beer.
Yeah.
People should use this.
Well, yeah, they actually do batches. They can
right.
say
this is yeast
this
that they think makes great beer.
Right.
Not something that it's like, oh, let's just use this crap.
Yeah.
No, they don't do that. They want to make sure that any yeast you use is great. And so you go to the vault and you check this out, and then it's like, oh, I've never heard of this. Oh, that sounds really interesting.
Raccoon balls are much better. Yes.
Right. Sure. And you can vote for that,
yeah.
And then they get enough votes. They make that yeast.
Yeah.
So you get your homebrew club, you get anybody, get on social media and explain why everyone should be voting for this one yeast. And they get enough people that want the yeast,
right.
they'll go ahead and make 250 batches of it, or little pouches of it, out of a big batch.
Yeah.
And there you go.
You can Google White Labs Vault right now, and you can see how things are going. You can see what's
right.
trending, right?
Like right.
If they're like 5 or 6 short, go ahead and put
right.
yours in, and you'll be able to get that.
Yeah. Right.
I think it's just whitelabs.com, the vault.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
you go.
Even better.
There you go. All right. So check that out at our good friends, White Labs. All right. So today we have in studio, I have begged and pleaded our barrel program manager guy.
It's rare to get him out
Chris
of.
Braden
uh-huh.
to
yes.
come down
uh-huh.
and talk about what he does in the barrel program uh-huh. at Heretic. And it's, how he decides on what goes into what and blends and things like that. And he started out as a home brewer.
Wow.
And ended up with a job.
He has to work for you.
So, we'll
get to that.
Everything sucks
we'll
a little bit.
We'll get a few more beers and then we'll get to that part.
Right. Yeah. But we wanted to hear from him how he got the job, what he does in his job and how he makes like killer blends of barrels and decides on what's going where and or whatnot. I think it's very interesting. You can hear all of it right after this.
Hey guys, what'll it be?
I'm not sure. What do you recommend?
A lot of people seem to like the Hefeweizen.
Is that a German Hefeweizen or more of an American-style wheat beer?
I'm not sure, but I can give you a taste.
Okay, great.
Great.
The Cicerone Certification Program certifies and educates beer professionals in order to elevate the beer experience for consumers. Unfortunately, not every bar is staffed with certified beer servers who can guide their customers through a beer list.
Here you go, guys. Let me know what you think of the Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely more of an American wheat. But I can hardly tell because this beer just smells like sour butter. I wonder how long it's been since they cleaned the draft lines.
Yeah, and look at the bubbles on the side of the glass. It's filthy.
Somebody should tell these guys about the Cicerone program.
For sure. How about we head somewhere else for another beer?
Your server should give beer the same respect you do. Request quality. The Cicerone Certification Program offers four levels of beer certification, in-person classes, and course books for beer professionals. Check them out at Cicerone.org. The Cicerone Certification Program. We know beer.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, they're amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Home Brewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from thebrewingnetwork.com.
Now back to Brewing with Style.
All right, we're back. All right. Chris.
Yes.
Chris Braden. Yeah. So you were sitting here how long ago? A year ago?
Close to a year and a half, I think.
Year and a half? Yeah. Oh, almost 2 years?
Yeah.
And you had come. You were come from Cleveland to work the new Levi Stadium in for the San Francisco 49ers, that stadium.
Yep.
That's your expertise, your regular day job.
Yep, yep.
And you exhibited excellent tasting skills that match mine. And I was impressed. And
which is a huge compliment coming from you.
Right? And so I guess that's how you got the job, right?
Yeah.
That and a willingness to work cheap.
Yeah.
It's a hallmark of how we do things at Heretic.
Yeah. Basically just come in on weekends to start and at least try to monitor and track and create some sort of a database on all the barrels that we mm-hmm, had. And I mm-hmm. think when I started, we had maybe 50 or so barrels, and now we're up to over 500, I think.
Wow, yeah.
Around, I think, 530, so.
Yeah, we got at least 400 of the wine barrels, and we got to be closing on 200 of the bourbon barrels.
We're 161 on the bourbon barrels.
Oh, wow.
Active barrels. So,
wow.
Yeah,
getting
there.
That was one of the things that, talking to you, one was your palate and how our palates were very simpatico, I thought. But the other was your ability to, organize data and track things and manage information. I think that that's very important in barrel program because, like you're saying, it's like having 530 children, and which one needs to go to soccer practice on which day is kind of what you're tracking, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, some are definitely further along than others, mm-hmm. and I mean, it could be the same batch of beer, but one barrel is just progressing quicker, one's lagging behind,
one's JPing in a little bit.
Yeah, but it's been a good experience. learned a lot so far, and it's been a lot of fun.
Right. So I pretty much threw you into the job from the beginning. I'm like, all right, come down. What did I tell you? Come down and taste the barrels every week and, you know, write your notes down. And, you know, you've progressed from there, though. That's what you started doing. Yeah. And you helped rehydrate barrels. I know we were there, you know, adding hot water to barrels to get them to seal up and things like that. But now I see you more suggesting, well, let's blend, you know, 20% of this and 40% of that, and this will be a great beer. I mean, how did you, you know, talk to us about, you know, how you got started, what it was like when you got started, you know, how you've progressed since then, you know, how you decide on, you know, blends, things like that.
Okay, so basically whenever I'm there tasting, I'm mainly looking for off flavors to mm-hmm. start. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. in barrels, you'll have a lot of oxidation, mm-hmm. sometimes some acetic acid in the sours, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Acetone, that kind of thing. And then obviously we're not going to throw something in that's got an initial off flavor.
Right.
That,
so
that,
somebody,
that tastes so, bad. So we're not afraid to dump beer if we have
right.
to.
And, so something tastes like vinegar or tastes like, you know, nail polish remover. You flag those and say, no, not for
that's
mixing it.
A dumper. At some breweries, I know, like, we'll say, well, we've got 10 barrels of this beer that doesn't have this acetone sort of character. Mm-hmm. We can throw a half a barrel of this other stuff in there to get rid of it. Mm. You guys don't do that, evidently.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one thing I'm passionate about is if something tastes bad, just dump it. Yeah. Let's not try and blend it into something that does taste great.
Sure. And that's built into a barrel program. You don't put up 12 barrels of beer thinking, oh, we're going to get 12 barrels of product.
No, no, no. Right. Hey, Chris, I mean, how do you view that? I mean, how have you been looking at that in the blends and stuff?
I mean, as far as the blends go, I try to keep as much of that out as I can. And I'm basically going in, I mean, one person trying to taste through 500 barrels is tough, so I try to rotate through the barrels each weekend when I come in and taste different
right.
things each time and basically write down my tasting notes on the tag we have on the outside of the barrel just to get a log of what it's tasting like at certain points in its lifespan. And, I mean, the good stuff obviously goes into the final blend. The bad stuff gets thrown away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, so I'll tell you, from my end, I used to have to taste all the barrels. And it's a lot of work, and I've got a lot of other work to do. I enjoy mm-hmm. tasting the barrels, but, I mean, how you got the job is, one, you've got a great demeanor. You're just like a nice guy that you're not, like, demanding or weird or anything. You're just like a normal guy.
He's reasonably,
you yeah. know.
You're nothing like Jamil is.
Exactly.
That's what he's saying.
And then, you know, there was a show.
By the way,
we were going through and we were doing a Brewing with Style or something, right?
Yeah, where Belgian specialty. Category.
Belgian specialty. And you brought some beers and everyone was tasting. And we had a full studio. It was like at least five people. And as we were going through, I was like, I totally disagree with what, you know, Porno Steve saying, or whoever it was. Maybe it was you, JP.
That's easy to. You would never disagree with
John
me.
John Plisse was still here. Right
and so each person was saying their things. I'm like, nope, disagree with that. This is the problem with what they're saying. And, you know, and going through around through the room. Came to you, Chris, and you said all the things that I was thinking. One after the other. It was like you were looking at my notes or something. I don't know. You were in my mind.
Yeah,
and
that's what it is.
You said exactly the same things I would have said about every beer. And I was blown away. I'm like, this dude right here, this guy's got a palate. This guy,
well, that's what you want. To have a guy
right.
that can do a
this is somebody
palate.
I could trust with my beer.
Well.
And so that's how we started talking. I'm like, well, I like the guy already. And he's proven to me, and it wasn't like, well, here's your chance to prove to me. He didn't even know. And then we talked after that. I'm like, you've impressed me. You want this job that pays nothing as you yeah. require a lot of work. Yeah. And he's like, yeah.
You got that nothing thing down good. Well, palate's a big part of the of that job.
I mean, right. It's hard to find somebody that you can trust.
Well, not trust, just know the flavors and recognize them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, again, trust that, you know, that you're on the same page. Yeah.
Right, right. So that was huge. Yeah. That was huge. I was very happy to, you know, be able to do this with you.
For sure.
Thanks.
And,
also, it's someone to yell at. It's someone new to yell at.
Have I ever yelled at you? Never.
You've never yelled at me, no.
No.
Well,
I wouldn't.
Not yell,
then again,
but
when I come in on the weekends, usually on a Sunday.
Right.
Just the tap room folks.
Yeah, I think it's been interesting. So one of his first things was to kind of organize and categorize and, you know, start recording some data on all this stuff versus just randomly having barrels filled with beer, which is very hard to, you know, when you taste this stuff, if you can't keep notes and know how things are progressing, you just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't know what to check. You don't have it.
Right.
Can't say, well, last time I checked that batch of stout, well, you know, you forget you got these extra 10 barrels of stout.
Mm-hmm.
You might forget to check them.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a relative, you said about 500 barrels. Is that identify? I mean, what inventory is that? What is that like? What do you have in under barrelage right now?
We've got about 375 wine barrels that are holding pretty much all sour beers. A lot of sour base going right now.
Uh-huh.
But then we have a few random things and experiments we're trying on a few of the other flagship beers. We've got some barrels. And then we've got about 161 bourbon barrels as of right now. So.
And that's where you put the stout or the?
Yeah, stout.
It's mainly the stout, which is the incubus.
Yeah.
The torment turned out fantastic.
Yeah.
So we brew a beer called Torment, which is a...
People are asking about it all the time.
Belgian Strong Dark.
Yeah.
It's a great Belgian Strong Dark. We kind of had this idea. It's like, well, we had these extra bourbon barrels that we got, and we didn't want them to go dry. It's like, well, what do we put in them? And we put the Torment, we put Grave, and did we put some Evil Twin in there, too?
Yeah, there were a couple Twin.
Right. You put anything else in there? I think that was it.
This is an experiment. This is like a,
no, we're like, well, screw it. I don't want this barrel going dry.
I see. We got this cheap ass beer. I mean, really good beer. And we're going to put a hoppy beer and a whiskey barrel.
Well, I had tried the Torment before in bourbon barrels, and I didn't get anything that was good. And so we tried it again, and Chris was saying, what were you saying about the Torment initially?
Initially, it was lacking the vanilla character that you get from bourbon barrels, and it was really light on the bourbon. I mean, we ended up just leaving it in there for an extended period of time this time around, and then we also used some bourbon-soaked char just to kind of spike the bourbon flavor.
So when they empty a bourbon barrel, there's a lot of pieces of the barrel that flake off and settle to the bottom.
Sure, with the whiskey.
So we can get those flakes of char.
Buy it. Yeah, you buy it.
And so we added some of that. And I'm telling you, Chris, people are raving about the Bourbon Torment. They're just like, that's outstanding. Hmm. And I think it turned out great.
Char, this is a homebrewing question. Char versus like oak cubes.
Uh-huh.
Would there be some reason to add one or the other or a combination of both maybe? Why would you? What would you get if you added cubes and char?
I mean, you might get more of the vanilla from different kinds of toast of cubes.
Okay.
Just, you know, there's certain toasts that expose more vanillin.
Right.
The char.
Char is actually really a lot of burnt matter, right?
It's burnt. It's like, it looks like charcoal.
Yeah.
Flakes of charcoal.
Right.
From the barrel. When they set the barrel on fire.
Then they just scrape that off and put that in a bag for you.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, very loose in the barrel, and then, you know, when they fill it up with liquid, it flakes off and falls to the bottom over time.
Sure.
And when they empty it, there's all this sludge in there, and they'll dump it out and extract the whiskey off of it or the bourbon off of it.
Right.
And that, you know, bit of char, they'll bag it up, and a lot of them burn in their barbecues. But we've talked them into, no, we deserve those because we're buying the barrels. We need the char, too.
Really?
And so they've been fantastic in giving us a char.
Nice.
Well, send them some beer back or something.
Oh, we do.
Yeah, okay.
But But yeah, the Bourbon Torment, I thought, turned out excellent.
Wow.
And what about how do you decide on blends? So you taste all these individual barrels, and some of them taste good, some of them don't. Sometimes I see in your report it says, 20% this, 40% that. How are you coming up with these blends? Are you just you imagine, or do you have flavors in your mind? You know certain things have certain flavors, and you're thinking that's what it's missing.
I think it all comes from doing a lot of tasting of barrel-aged beers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a member of the Brewery Society, so I get a lot of their barrel-aged beers, and they do a lot of interesting and complex blends with sours and bourbon going together and things like that. So I try to, whenever we have something that's lacking a little bit, if maybe we, I know we had a couple grave barrels that were mm-hmm. in the bourbon barrels, and mm-hmm. they just seemed a little bit thin and lacking body. And so I tried blending the grave with one of the higher alcohol imperial stouts we had in barrels mm-hmm. and with sour grave that we had in the wine barrels mm-hmm. just to mm-hmm. kind of get an idea of what options we have, if we have any yeah. other routes we could go with some of these. So there's a element of creativity to it, and mm-hmm. just trying things, seeing what works and what doesn't. But mm-hmm. for the most part, you're just looking for complexity and what's going to put out the best final product.
Well, how are you confident in what you're suggesting that will cost us many thousands of dollars? How are you confident that maybe I'm using this show to find out?
It's a good interview.
It's your interview,
it's a
dude.
Job review.
Yeah, right. How are you confident?
Should we go into private session here?
That what you're suggesting is a great beer. We want to have beers that are of the highest caliber, not just this is okay. We want it to be great. We want every sip to be people going, oh my God, that's fantastic. How are you sure that's happening?
Just tasting. You taste everything.
There's times when I taste stuff and I'm just like, I kind of lose track and I'm just like, I don't know at this point. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not. I'm kind of overwhelmed.
I can only imagine myself as a sour beer blender or a barrel beer blender. And, I wouldn't know where to start, so I would end up, just randomly mixing things together.
Right.
Or, thinking, what's this beer need? What's it need? It needs more of this or that. Uh-huh. Do I have that ingredient somewhere in my...
But, 10 or 20 beers in, are you not saying to yourself, I'm not really sure
I could never do that because I would not be sure.
Right.
Chris has the skills and the attention to do this, obviously.
Keeping good records of what you're tasting each time and rotating through the barrels and not just tasting it once, just repeatedly tasting what you think is a good barrel
mm-hmm.
over and over again just to confirm what you're tasting and make sure it's a candidate for the final blend.
So these blends, do you try them again before you... say, that's the thing. Do you try them 1 week and you're like, that seems really good in my notes. And it's like, when I come back next week, I'm going to try that again just to make sure. Or do you just fuck it, I'll send it out. I don't really care.
No, whenever I put something in writing that says this is ready to package, I taste everything one final time.
One more time.
Before I send that email, yeah.
Well, that makes me feel good.
I take some home swing, and when I woke up at 3 in the morning, not being able to go back to sleep, I could taste it again.
Yeah. Well, you take breaks. You're not tasting barrels all day, and then that's it. Maybe you are. I don't know.
Usually, I keep track of everything at the beginning of the shift. Do any barrel maintenance work that needs done towards the beginning and middle of the shift, and then towards mm-hmm. the end of the shift, I'll start tasting. Just
how many will you go through at your average normal tasting? Just checkup stuff.
I would go through maybe 15 to 20 at a time, and it's just maybe a half of a sample glass, and you're not even drinking the whole sample glass. Do you have the idea?
So you have a rough cap. You're not trying to go, I have 50 barrels to taste today.
No,
usually that would be too much.
Yeah, usually I go in with a plan.
Okay,
I kind of know what's getting ready to be packaged, ready for a final tasting. I know some of the sours, like if it's getting close to 10 to 12 months in the barrel, those have got to be coming up and getting ready. So I've got a plan every time I go in there.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, there you go. Then that doesn't seem like so much palate fatigue. I think I can keep track of 15. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of climbing, I assume, involved in doing this?
A lot of ladder work.
Yeah, we're having to stack them pretty high now in order to get them all in the building. Mm-hmm. It's getting
that's like drinking on a ladder.
Right. No, we're looking at setting up another building just for the sours. Yeah.
Another building?
Yeah.
Just bought the building you're in. My God.
This
isn't a Monopoly game.
This is conquer the world.
Are you some real money? Is this drug money? How are you getting all this cash?
Drug money.
Yeah.
Smart. Well, porn money.
Smart. Porn, that's right.
Porn drug money.
Back to your roots.
Exactly. I am the Kunta Kinte of homebrewing and porn and drugs. Yeah. There you go. Well, I'll tell you, there is also the need to express yourself.
That's right.
Some do it through pornography. Some do it through the labels on their homebrew.
Labels.
Homebrewing is about expression. You make the beer you want to make, and it tastes the way you want it to taste. Why not make it look the way you want it to look? Well, GrogTag, they can help you make it look the way you want. Your labels, the dream you have, they can make it a reality. So use their pre-made templates or upload your own artwork to create the best thing about your beer, the labels. Well, the best thing about your beer is labels. I'm sorry. That's not so great. When it's homebrew, I'm saying marketing and labels do matter.
Hey.
And that's going to set
if you're in the 20% that makes great homebrew.
Right.
Get these labels, put that on there.
That's going to kick you over the top.
You're going to have the best time of your life.
You became very Trump-like right there.
Oh, was that
the hand motions?
Those are big hands. Yeah.
No labels, very
you
bad.
Have much bigger hands.
Yeah. No labels are very bad. Very dumb. No labels label are bad.
You know, they have generic labels you can get.
Right,
you can
just
write on them and just use them over and over again.
But they've got everything from custom bottle caps, metal signs, coasters, even handles, all outlined with whatever kooky thing you can come up with. So head over to grogtag.com today. Enter the code JAN, January 17, and take 10% off your order at grogtag.com. JAN17.
Very creative.
I would say this. When two beers are being presented, the one with the better label is going to taste better. If you had two beers that tasted the same.
It's just a pride.
You could take two of JP's oatmeal stouts, two different bottles, same beer. You slap a really nice label on one. You write something on a post-it note and stick it on the other. Which one tastes better? I guarantee you the one with the beautiful label.
Sure.
There's a beautiful label I made right there. That's Taryn's dad.
Wavy locks brown.
And it's a GrogTag. Look at that. It comes right off.
Right. You stick that in. You could reuse that multiple times.
Yeah. Take the next
bottle. Sweet.
I've had this on this bottle probably for 2 years now. PBW soaks. Star Sand soaks coming off and on
that's,
the show,
that's
everybody.
Some quality shit.
And it's right back on.
But you can put it right back on. It's so cool.
That's gonna be the one that tastes better. People are gonna appreciate. I guarantee
that's
you.
That's my experience as well.
It worked for you guys. You guys thought that was the better beer. The other one had no label on it.
That's exactly why
I
appreciate that one.
Yeah. All right.
QED. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll hear more with Chris and his barrel mastering experience right after this.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can. Featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
BN Army, have you heard the latest at Hop Tech? Since Hop Tech has doubled in size after a huge expansion, Jade and Roberto can stock even more of the best quality homebrewing supplies and equipment. Over 60 kick-ass varieties of hops and malts, monster truckloads of quality brewer's yeast, including White Labs, Y yeast, and multiple dry yeasts. They even have all grain systems from Grainfathers and Ruby Street Brew Systems, thanks to Jade, the brand new all-grain brewer. And don't forget about their 10% discount to all BN Army members. Jade and Roberto are waiting for you and all of your brewing questions over at hoptech.com. HopTech, totally not sucking since 1983.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20 gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy All Grain Brewing System. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy.
Now back to Jamil, Tasty, and Chicken Boy. This is Brewing with Style.
All right, we're back. Hey, Chris, have you used the new Brew Guru app from the AHA?
I have. Just downloaded it last week.
Sweet, isn't it?
It's great.
Works quick. And what it'll tell you is, like Tasty was saying,
discount.
Well, it's gonna
discount.
It connects you to the database that the AHA has, which has got all the breweries in it, all the homebrew shops in it, every last restaurant and brew pub, and all the discounts that they offer, plus all the ones that are just registered and don't give you discounts. It's got those too, in a format where you very quickly can see what's around you, and it's like, okay, well, here's a nice place right here. It's a half mile away, but look, if I go 3/4 mile, I get one that's giving me discounts.
$1 off a pint.
Let me check that one out. That sounds like the first place to go.
50% off food.
And if it's good, great. I'm going to stay there, and like I'm going to consume at low prices.
What was that accent, by the way?
I don't know.
If I go 3/4 mile,
I'm going to go 3/4 mile.
3/4 mile.
I can go half a mile. I can go 3/4 mile.
I'll go half a Junebug leg.
I could go a Nance ass and get my discount. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Go half a Junebug.
Half a Junebug.
Half a Junebug link to a Nats ass.
Right? Just a Spitz Creek down the lane here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You're ready. Ready to distill. You're
pretty much offended, like 50% of relationship. Yeah.
You get alerts.
You got the moonshine. The moonshine lingo down already.
Oh yeah, I'm getting ready to distill, man. Get excited about that. Anyways, check it out. You can go to the homebrewassociation.org, and you can get this app, the Brew Guru, for free on all your regular sources.
You don't have to be a member. Anybody listening, not a member,
right?
Which you should be.
You can check it out though for free. In the Play Store, the App Store, the little kid on the corner,
Android, iOS.
Your drug dealer probably has
sure.
it for you.
Yeah,
all that stuff.
And if you can't get it, we'll give them your number. You can just ask them.
Just call me up.
And what's good around here?
Right.
Yeah.
Don't contact me with travel advice. God damn it! I keep telling y'all, don't contact me. Going, hey, I'm going to travel
to. I'm going to be in town. What's good? Yeah.
to such and such, and you're right. And somebody was like, well, I'm going to be in the Bay Area. Where should I go? And I told them a Heretic. They were just like, oh, screw you. You just want me to go and buy your beer. And it's like, well, all right, so why the hell are you asking me?
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, why are you asking me, you bastard, if you don't want to come to Heretic? It's like, I don't know all the other places. I don't have time to go. I'm fucking working and making beer.
Just don't say ask Tasty, okay? Thank you.
I will.
So, I'll
just give
me
your email address. I'm just like, ask this guy. Jesus Christ.
He'll take you out.
I'm so pissed off now. What the hell?
Also, Google.com, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Bay Area.
I can Google
beer.
It. If you have a question as to where to go, have you heard of Google?
Or Bing, or I'm sure Fetch, Dog Fetch, or whatever it is, Dig Dog. I'm sure
Brew
that's still
Guru.
Around.
The AHAM.
You don't have to deal with it now. You do the Brew Guru.
There you go.
There you go.
Check it out. Brew Guru. How do you get there? AHA.
You know, the Play Store.
You
can go to the
Play Store. Yeah,
or Play Store or App Store.
Sounds perfect.
Or your drug dealer.
Chris, I wanted to ask you, how did you get into this whole beer thing in general? I mean, were you a home brewer or winemaker? How did you get into this whole thing?
Yeah, I've always been a fan of craft beer ever since I started drinking. And back in college, I was always the one with Great Lakes. That's what I came up on in Cleveland. And everyone else had their Natty Light and looked at me weird.
Then you had the good shit.
Yeah,
right?
But then I started home brewing in 2010.
Nice.
Only did a couple extract batches before I dove into all grain. And
that's kind of the way I started.
Yeah, I've been doing that ever since.
And nice.
I mean, I started out just wanting to explore what could be done with beer and tried brewing all these crazy off-the-wall styles with all these adjuncts and different things.
Pushing the edges, huh?
But, yeah, I mean, that kind of got old. And after who knows how long with 10, 12% beer sitting around at I can't find enough people to drink them
because
they're so high in alcohol.
Well, then you're making
I just started,
too much,
focusing on your basic styles and trying to perfect what I like to drink.
Did you enter competitions at any point? Or?
A few. Uh-huh. I wasn't huge into competitions.
Sure.
Everybody is. Son of Brewzilla, that was the big one back in Cleveland, and I got a few medals in that. But I haven't entered that many, really. Only NHC 1 year.
Did you belong to Home Brew Club at all along the way? Or?
No. Brewing Network was my home brew,
well, that's
home brew
fine.
Club. Yeah,
There you go.
I didn't really have a local one nearby me, so I always
now,
glad to be assistant.
Down Brewing Network. For
how did you develop your palate, or how did you? What do you attribute your palate to?
I would just say a lot of tasting of different beers. I would typically, when I visit a brewery, I'm not the type of person that's just going to go and order my favorite beer time and time again. I always go for the flight and try everything they have just to expand my palate and my style knowledge and kind of figure out what's good, what's bad. And GABF also, that's another thing I try to hit every year. And I always look up the winners from the year before and do my homework so I can try some good stuff. Yeah,
it'll be there.
Hey, I gotta throw that out.
Don't tell me about your beers, Jamil.
I appreciate that. That's smart. You have a plan when you go in there. I remember every time I go into GBF and I walk in there the first day, I look up and go like, I have no plan. I never have a plan. You have a plan. You know last year's winners, and you get those while they still have them on tap.
Yeah.
This year's winners, time you get there on the Saturday session, they're probably gone.
Some of them are, some of them aren't. I mean, usually you can get some of them if you get to the popular styles quick enough. But
I know some breweries will hold those in reserve, sort of thinking that they might win, especially the competition beers that they know they've got in.
Yeah.
All right, so you weren't into the competitions as much. So how long were you homebrewing before you got a check from a brewery?
About 5 years.
Nice.
I would say 5 years, yeah.
Good amount.
A bunch of batches, yeah. It's a lot of fun, and with my original job out here, I didn't have a whole lot of time to dedicate to keeping track of homebrew. So
It happens.
Working for Heretic on the weekends kind of satisfies that itch for me.
Yeah, you didn't have to worry about, do I have the ingredients? Just go there and start working.
Yeah.
And then, have you made, as a homebrewer, did you make any sour beers at all? Any barrel beers?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I actually, last show that I was on for the Belgian specialty Brewing with Style. I brought in one of my sours.
That's right.
Well, that's the other thing. That was excellent, I recall.
Really good, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah.
That was another deciding factor in offering Chris a job.
Yeah, it was a...
Brewing Network should charge you for these services that we provide here.
Oh, screw you. Yeah.
You've gotten two employees out of the Brewing Network.
I should charge the Brewing Network.
You should.
Oh, don't tell Justin.
He knows.
Well, I think we got one more break.
We got one more break, baby.
I think we take this break.
Okay.
And when we come back, I want to hear from you, Chris, in a nutshell, what your advice is on, you know...
anything.
Tasting and blending out a great beer because, how to taste a beer as it relates to the homebrew scale. I mean, what would people do? How are they going to apply, you know, give them a lesson on, you know, improving their aged beers or their, you know.
I'll tell you what I'd like to hear about is what denotes a bad barrel, what flavors are bad.
Well, I think you talked about that initially, but...
You did, okay.
I'd love
to hear it again.
You know, to really extend dumb. That out, because I think that's a good point, JP, because there's a lot of people that... Maybe you should focus on this, Chris, when we come back. People taste their homebrew.
Yep.
And they're like, it's the greatest thing in the world. And then they shove it in your face at the conference, and you're like, my God, this is rank. And how do they think that this is great beer? How can what do they need to do to learn to differentiate between good and bad? You know, between holy crap, that's bad, and this is palatable. Even that kind of that kind of level. So think about that. Let's take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
The Vault, created by White Labs. The Vault is a collection of new, creative, and unique yeast strains from around the world. These strains have never been available to homebrewers. Most have not even been available to professionals. You have the power to release the yeast. Through the Vault, White Labs is giving you the power to decide which strains are put into production and giving you the opportunity to brew with these strains. Visit whitelabs.com/thevault and pre-order the yeast strain of your choice and encourage your friends to do the same. Once 250 pre-orders have been achieved, White Labs will put that strain into production. The strain will be mailed directly to your doorstep, ready to make the beer you've always wanted to brew. This program was created with the homebrewer in mind. White Labs is relying on you to help release these strains, which may blaze the way for future new and unique beers. Help release the yeast. Visit whitelabs.com/thevault.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. Morebeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. Morebeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to morebeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. New at Williams is the innovative line of Intertap forward sealing beer faucets with interchangeable spouts, as well as a new grain mill motorizing kit that features a gear motor that spins your mill at the correct 180 RPM without the need for hazardous belts. Also new is the Mark II wort pump, a magnetic drive high temperature pump that starts at only $69.99, but does the job of pumps costing twice as much. Other exclusives include their Brewer's Edge mini regulators in mini configurations, as well as their exclusive line of Keg King kegs and Keg King disconnects. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com to browse their vast selection. From now until September 30th, enter web coupon NETWORK at checkout with any order of $75 or more and get a free Williams Brewing baseball hat with your order.
Now back to Jamil, Tasty, and Blise. It's Brewing with Style.
All right, we're back. And I want to tell you about my good friend Nico and his Nico Brew. He has the hops you are looking for.
And his Nico Brew. Nico and his Nico Brew. It sounds like a barbershop quartet.
Have you heard him sing Barbershop?
No.
I'm telling you, there's nothing sweeter than Nico and his quartet barbershopping it for you.
I love it.
From your standard recipe staples to those hard-to-find exotic hops, and their super fast turnaround, you'll be brewing in no time. Their hops are nitrogen flush, vacuum sealed, and Mylar packaging. Make sure you get the freshest hops available. If you are after wholesale hops, like for your homebrew club or for your small professional brewery, just go to pro.nicobrew.com. And you can buy 44-pound boxes of your favorite hops, and no retail account needed.
There you go again, moonshine talk.
Right, no retail or wholesale account needed. check out the new Nico Brew swag, like onesies, tees for toddlers, and even something for you grown-ups out there. I say send naked photos of everyone. You need the onesie, send the naked photo. You need the toddler, send the naked photo. You need the
crotchless
adult
panties too. Those are send me photos for that.
Crotchless panties. He needs to know how to size these things for you. How is he going to know?
How big is that?
Right. Your schlong going to fit through this thing?
Yeah.
Or your giant vagina going to fit in this thing? By the crotchless panties, he needs to be able to size it. I would suggest taking a yardstick or maybe a ruler, holding it up to your crotchal area.
Yeah, it's for reference, yes. Yeah.
Taking a photo.
Bev's writing this down. She's taking notes.
Step one, yardstick. Step two, your crotchal area.
Right.
Step three, photo.
Right. Yeah.
Step four.
Nico Brew swag.
Should I go slower? Step four. Send it to Nico.
So that's the Nico Guaranteed Fit program, huh?
That's
guaranteed
what it is.
Fit. Right, yeah. Exactly. If you're ordering the Nico Brew crotchless panties, you really need to send a picture of your crotch to Nico.
Exactly. He'll probably send you one back. He will send nudes. he's already wearing a skirt half the time of his life anyways. It's fine.
Right, right. This is how it works. This is, you buy some hops,
very
too.
Very scientific.
Buy some hops, too.
It's mathematical.
It would
take a commercial brewer to explain it to you.
Well, check out NicoBrew.com for all your hop needs. Great guy.
Yeah.
Good dude. Somebody won't pinch me in the junk after hearing this. So there you go. My good friend Nico. All right. So, Chris, give us the synopsis. Give us the what you learned about, making great, blends of barrel-aged beer or things like that. Why people should even blend. I think people, when you're a home brewer, you're like, I make a batch. That's what it is.
You don't have much choice.
Nobody does any blending. But I think one of the best things I did was to save some beer and blend it later on and try different things and barrel age and all that stuff. That's when, the world opened up for me and the amount of flavors and capabilities.
Control you had,
You never know what you're going to get when you're blending different barrels together with different ages, different beers at some points.
The flavors are not just additive. Sometimes you make a blend and it's just almost magical. All of a sudden it opens up some other flavor that wasn't there before. Yeah. And it's like, well, where did that come from, right?
Yeah. I really enjoyed the Worry this year, too. That turned out great back when we packaged that.
Right. That was a tricky one.
It was a tricky one.
That was so many different beers and so much different time.
Do you remember a particular beer or
Brett and
or changes you made that made it pop? Do you remember anything Oh, that's it? Or just
the worry.
The worry?
Yeah.
With the Brett.
Yeah.
I see.
We had some barrels that weren't showing the Brett character.
I see.
And then I'm just like, dose them with Brett. More Brett. More Brett. We did. And they went from like brown, lifeless, to blonde and popping.
Yeah, really?
The color even changed, significantly.
It ate the color?
Yep.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Just hungry bugs.
It was amazing. And it turned out to be a great beer. And all of a sudden, the Chardonnay just rose up out of the ashes.
Oh, the barrel character came through.
Dried it out. Oh, yeah. Just made it pop.
It was being hidden, huh? Wow. How did you know? Jesus, that's great. Wow.
Well, Michael Lewis was saying Brett can consume oxidation, and any yeast can consume oxidation.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
That's why I was like, oh, just add some Brett, and we'll get that thing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Exciting. How much of that did you think you packaged or when it was finally available, just roughly? 50 cases?
Was it...
375?
I think it may have been like 50 or 60 barrels of beer, wasn't it? Or it was 45 or something like that.
Nice. I think we had close to 20 to 25 barrels, wooden oak barrels of beer. So
which each one's about two barrels of beer.
Yeah. So that's about right.
So it was 40 to 50 barrels, and then there were some that didn't go in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's waste when you're finding it and all that.
Huh?
Yeah.
Nice. Bunch of good beer.
Well, my advice to people would be, when you have a beer, that's got some potential, but maybe it's, maybe barrel age, get into barrel age and get several barrels. Smaller barrels for homebrewers and just give them a try, save some kegs.
Yeah.
And do some blending and some experimenting. I think
I'll get some buddies who are doing barrels and get together with them and blend together, make a small little portion together.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Don't be afraid to wait on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of times you'll have a pretty good beer after 6 months or so, but I know we let that Incubus go another 6 months.
And
it just got really
We ended
good.
Up like 9 months, and that's sketchy and scary in a bourbon barrel aged beer. we never went beyond I think 3 or 6 months before. Mm. We went to 9, and it turned out spectacular. Mm. Yeah, there you go. That's why I'm really, really thrilled to have you, Chris, working on this with us and tasting these things, and I trust you.
Thanks.
That's
it's a lot of fun for me.
Big for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Enjoy it.
There you go. Yeah. Handies all around.
Send nudes, Chris. That's all you got out of the show.
There you go. All right. If you enjoy this show, thank you for listening, and make sure to check out our sponsors. Check out whitelabs.com. Those good folks have been supporting the Brewing Network for a long, long time. Since
Absolutely.
The very beginning, and just about every show and every aspect, they've been fantastic. So I think you should get on there. You should send a email to chris@whitelabs.com and tell him how much you appreciate that they've been supporting the show. Fantastic dude, and they've been spending money on the Brewing Network to keep us on the air for a long time. If you enjoy this, you also might want to check out thebrewingnetwork.com/store. There's all sorts of goodies in there. There are T-shirts, hoodies, hats, growlers, all sorts of goodies that when you buy those items, the profits go directly to the bottom line of the Brewing Network and keep shows like this on the air for you to enjoy endlessly.
For free.
For free!
It's a deal.
If you ain't paying for it, pay for something.
Right. Until then, everybody, brew strong
and often.